Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast. Thank you for hanging out with the underdogs and talking politics, culture, and personal life. Enjoy this new episode. Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do here every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, your source for coverage, opinions, and coaching of the unavoidable.
Yeah.
The unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
The unjust.
Mm-hmm.
The underrated.
Yep.
Your favorite, the uninhibited.
Definitely my favorite.
You get it by now. Underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life. And to take you on the journey every week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, consultant and coach, and on-air personality, representing the city of brotherly love, now living in Harlem world. And if you're watching on Facebook Live and you look over to my left, you will see in the building, as always, Asha Davis.
Hi.
You waved at the wrong camera.
No, I didn't. The people on Facebook can see you.
Right there.
Oh.
Who is an award-winning advertising executive? Comedy writer?
Yeah.
And proud Torontonian.
Canadian, yeah.
Canada in the house. And part of Underdog Stuff team in the building, Kirsten Magwood.
Good morning.
Who is TV producer, film director, and the host of the show Best of the Best, which airs every Tuesday night and the Wednesday morning on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Today, come on the journey with us. We'll be taking your phone calls at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Or for those who like to watch. And there's some people who prefer to watch.
Definitely.
That's all you're going to say?
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Look at you keeping it Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch at Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, GregoryNeesmith.
Lots of letters.
Yes. But once they type it in once, it just pops up. Again, because that's how these computer things work these days. And today's show, episode, Back to Work.
Back to Work.
Man, it's that time of year. Summer is unofficially over.
Oh, man. We still got like 2 more days, man.
Labor Day weekend is popping, which means it's time for folks to get back to work, back to school, and back to life. And we'll talk about it in politics, culture, and personal life today.
Back to life. Back to reality. I remember these things.
I'm surprised you remember this.
Oh, I do. How can I forget? These are big things.
I know. That's when I was coming of age. And speaking of coming of age, just before we get into the show, shout out to all the underclassmen who are going back to school. All those folks who are going to be freshmen in high school, which would be ninth grade, going to be freshmen in college. All the folks starting kindergarten. They probably aren't listening right now if they're starting kindergarten, but I want to shout them out.
That's nice.
Yes.
Maybe beginning their academic journey.
Yes, their parents are listening. And with that, as always, this show, we will cover the unavoidable news stories of the week. Also, we'll do some unjust or just right. We haven't done that in a little while.
Not in a while, yeah.
And as always, we'll be taking your phone calls and comments throughout the show. So with that, let's get it. Let's talk about the unavoidable news stories of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has been truly unavoidable and unprecedented and unfortunate, and that is Hurricane Harvey.
Hurricane Harvey. You know, we talked a little bit about it last week when it had sort of just hit or was just sort of on its way, but really this week we saw the devastation.
Yeah, the aftermath in some ways was worse than the initial storm. With all the flooding that has happened, and it's been a catastrophe.
Well, it's actually the costliest natural disaster in American history at this point, which is crazy when you think about it, because as bad as Katrina was, you think about sort of the location and where that happened and the devastation versus somewhere like Houston, where, you know, there's a lot of damage, and even, you know, it's really scary. What's scary to me is seeing some of the stories where, as now the water is sort of receding, they're finding some scary things sort of at the bottom of the water, which is scary.
Yeah, and speaking of scary things, there's been reported over 40 deaths
related
to Harvey. And just to kind of put it in perspective, I heard something over the weekend where they were talking about the amount of water that Houston has gotten in the surrounding areas. And they said, imagine the city like Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. just the city limits of it. Imagine if it had gotten all the rain that Harvey brought. It said it would have filled up the city limits of D.C. to the levels of the Empire State Building.
Wow.
Just to put in perspective, that's how much water is in the Houston and now Louisiana area.
Wow.
And, of course, our prayers and thoughts continue to go out to all those affected by Harvey. And, speaking of UNWRD, unfortunately, things like this, even natural disasters, have politics involved.
Mm-hmm.
And even Trump found a way to be woven into the story of Harvey. Donald Trump, the consoler-in-chief, maybe.
The consoler-in-chief. Actually, no.
On Tuesday, he went down to Texas. I won't say Houston. He went down to Texas.
Corpus Christi, actually, which is about 200 miles away from Houston where the flooding was.
But who's counting the miles?
I am.
Okay. Well, let's hear from President Trump, the a.k.a. consoler-in-chief, maybe?
Maybe.
Special. We're here to take care. It's going well. And I want to thank you for coming out. We're going to get you back and operating immediately. Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout. I want to thank our governor. Your governor has done a fantastic job.
Yeah, doing a lot of consoling, talking about thanks for coming out and glad that we had such a big crowd size.
Yeah, so he's still... Size still matters to him.
It does still matter. I wish he cared about the size of his approval rating, then maybe he would do a better job. But yes, it seems that crowd size is still a big deal, as opposed to focusing on the big deal of what was happening to the residents affected by Harvey.
Right. I mean, a big sort of missing piece and what sort of a lot of the news outlets were reporting on from that sort of initial visit earlier this week was that there wasn't really a point during the entire address in which he actually acknowledged the devastation, pain, and suffering that the actual citizens were enduring as a result of the storm.
Well, speaking of that, it turns out that he would send his cleanup hitter, Mike Pence.
Mr. Pence.
Yes. And so let's hear from Mike Pence, who came down later in the week to the affected Harvey area. And you might notice a little bit of difference in tone and message from Mike Pence compared to the consoler-in-chief, kind of.
Secondly, a word of gratitude to all of your first responders here in Texas. Those who at this very hour are continuing to put themselves in harm's way to rescue people and deliver them from danger. They and you have inspired the nation, and we commend them on behalf of our president. I'm also here to express our appreciation.
Is that how it's supposed to be done?
You notice how we had to just slip in on behalf of the president sort of at the end there, right?
I'm so glad you noticed that, because I listened to the entire clip and I don't think he went more than five sentences, every five, and I'm here on behalf of the president, and the president would like you to know, secondly, we thank the first responders, and the president would like you to know that, thirdly, we like to thank all the citizens who volunteered to help, and did I mention that I work for the president, and he sends all his love and gratitude to all the people affected by Hurricane Harvey?
Yeah, that's what would you call that in sort of coaching, like managing up, or like how do you deal with that? Because that's sort of like in a corporate situation, it's a situation where you know your boss is incompetent, but at the same time, you kind of gotta make sure they continue to look good.
It's called making your boss look good. Or at least attempting to make your boss look good, who clearly didn't. And then Mike Pence better watch it or else he's going to get fired, because he attracted some attention. Matter of fact, He was out there with gloves on, moving debris, shaking hands, hugging people. Mike Pence was putting in some work.
He was preparing potentially for a future job.
I'm just saying, anybody who ends up getting more attention than Donald Trump ends up resigning.
Uh-oh.
You didn't do it again.
You're fired!
I thought we did this show together every week, but I see you still... Asha, this will not be the last time I say, well, you know, someone resigned.
Okay, my bad. So now my trigger word is resigned.
It's always been.
I know.
is it? Have it?
I know.
All right. Well, we weren't the only people who noticed that Donald Trump's interaction with Harvey and empathy not being shown, so to speak, and how Mike Pence represented caught the notice of a lot of people. So then here's Kellyanne Conway to the rescue. What did Kellyanne have to say?
Kellyanne, who is channeling her inner Johnny Cochran more and more each day, she said they are repetitive, not competitive. So basically, Mike Pence is just going in and repeating the sort of what Donald Trump did, just more and doing more and more of it. So they're not competing. He's just repeating.
Is she the same one who did the coincidence? What was it? Was
collusion
or allusion? You said she's channeling her any Johnny Cochran. I think she's channeling her any Jesse Jackson.
Uh-oh.
Because she is rhyming up a storm every time she gets on air.
But if the glove do fit, you cannot acquit.
Well, word is Trump doesn't even like to shake people's hands. He likes the bacteria. I'm not making that up. That's true.
Yep.
With that, though, we have a caller.
Cool.
Who I believe would like to talk about Hurricane Harvey. Caller, name and where you're calling from.
Okay, my name is James. I'm calling from Queens.
Hello, James.
And I'd like to say one thing, that this is a warning to not only, you say, New York, but the entire country. You just saw the eclipse, the solar eclipse that came over the United States for 99 years. That's a warning. And even biblical has said that this would come. So that Harvey storm that came to Texas, that's another warning. There's more coming. And I think that we have to pay attention to the warnings that are sent to us. And that eclipse was sent there by God to warn us, not by some scientist or some freak or something, but just to get our house together and get our spiritual world together. Because if not, we are doomed.
Hey, James, and I appreciate you calling in. Before you go, though, what's one thing you would like to see us do as a country to get things back on the right track?
Well, number one, we got to get our house together and start fighting and hiding each other and start fighting other countries. Leave those other countries alone and deal with our own problems here in America.
Hey, I hear you, James. Thank you for calling in, and stay safe out there, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
James calling in saying that maybe Harvey was a warning shot. I do think the one thing he said near the end is definitely something to always be mindful of. While we're a lot of things going on abroad, like North Korea, which had some things pop off last night, it's true that we still have things to get in order here in America, and we will continue to keep working on them. Thank you, James, for the call. Harvey, Pence, Trump did a do-over.
He did. He went back. He went back, and this time he went back to...
Remix!
Pull up, as we say in Jamaican. He went back this weekend and tried it again.
And how did he do this time?
Well, he basically followed in Pence's footsteps, and this time he was out there handing out lunches and hugging babies and saying how much he cares about the people affected by the flooding, and he made a comment that it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
Yes, he said, as tough as it was, it's been a wonderful thing. I think even for the country to watch and for the world to watch, it's been, as you said, beautiful. And we had a good time with everybody, and I'm going to be doing a little help over here. That was him saying he's going to pass out the lunches and things like that.
Basically.
Yes. Donald Trump, learning from Mike Pence.
Don't say that out loud.
Mike might have to resign.
I don't think he can.
He can do it again.
God damn it. I'm too busy listening to what you're saying.
I appreciate that, though.
No. Okay, I'm not going to miss my cue next time.
Underdogs. Are we making much to do about nothing? Has there been too much focus on Donald Trump and his lack of empathy? Or is it warranted that during times like this of natural disaster, or even things like 9/11, which happened where we saw George Bush, a very unpopular president, become very popular because of his ability, at least in that moment, to be a consoler in chief, to bring people together, to show empathy? Do we expect and want more from Trump, or should we just be like, it's all good, just as long as the financial aid comes? It doesn't matter.
I mean, to me, I it does feel like his initial response was clearly a photo opportunity, and sort of only after he heard the backlash, like, you know, you can't actually do that, is when he, you know, stepped up and did this. And I just think that we can't dismiss the past just for the most recent thing that's occurred. And I think that sort of memory loss with Trump is ultimately what got him elected, and what's going to continue, to me, if we just keep accepting this just because the most recent thing he did was the right thing, then I don't necessarily think that's going to get us to the place that we need to be, to be honest with you. But yeah, I'm at least where I think the sort of silver lining is in all of this is, A, you know, the funding that is going to FEMA right now. Mm-hmm. So if you remember, there was a plan to cut federal emergency funding
by the Republicans.
If you remember, I don't believe that there's actually like a senior head of FEMA that's been appointed yet.
I think they may have gotten one in place
just recent. So then it was like recent.
Yes.
And so basically, you know, that at least them noticing the importance of something like that, and obviously, hopefully, the increased importance of the environment and the environmental issues that are causing, you know, once in a thousand year sort of events like this, I think maybe something like this might be able to get people to take notice.
No, I think folks will definitely take notice. And inside of all the politics of this, I do want to make sure we, you know, pause and just acknowledge that people's lives have been turned upside down.
Yeah.
And there are people right now who have no idea what their home is like, if there's anything even left there. And they will be struggling for weeks and for months and for years after this, because we will move on as a collective media of covering this story, but folks will be impacted for the rest of their lives. And so, again, our thoughts and prayers are with them. And in moments like this, there's no real words that can make it better, but it is an opportunity to lean on those people that are close to you. And for those who may not have people to lean on, the one thing that I've been reminded of, again, is in times of tragedy, even strangers can become folks to lean on, as we've seen all the people go down there and helping one another who don't even live in the area, or neighbors helping neighbors.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's also been beautiful to watch, at least from my perspective, is, you know, just before this, with the whole sort of Charlottesville issues and all of the racial tension that's going on in America, you know, Texas isn't necessarily known as the most racially harmonious state, to say the least. And so to see people being there and helping each other of all races and all ethnicities, just in the sake of humanity, I think, again, is a positive thing to see, and a positive memory. You know, maybe there are some people that were sort of in that white supremacist camp that hopefully maybe they got helped by a Hispanic officer or, you know, an African-American firefighter, and maybe it changed their mind.
Yeah. I've heard, and to your point, there's been a lot of talk about this is America.
Exactly.
Right? Especially after Charlottesville. And I just want to say one quick commentary of two things can be true at the same time. And it is possible for what we see in Texas and Louisiana, that is America. There is a spirit of kindness and supporting one another and rallying together. And at the same time, there are still legacies and sentiments of being anti-woman or anti-homosexual or anti-black, and that is America too. And I think it's okay to acknowledge both.
Exactly.
One doesn't make one go away, but it is cool to see people coming together.
Yes, and I think, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge, shout out to Daryl for tuning in on Facebook Live, and he made a good comment to say that around, you know, a little bit earlier, we were talking about the financial aid required, and Daryl made a point mentioning that just before this, and even during this to a degree, Trump had mentioned budget cuts to FEMA.
Lots of cuts.
Lots of cuts, and a lot of these cuts were going towards funding, again, that $1 billion tax cut for the wealthy, right? And so all of these things, again, keep into perspective what are the priorities, right, in terms of our politicians and our government. And definitely, no matter what, helping the citizens of this country should be at the top of the list.
And I think it will be. And just one thing, shout out to Daryl for the comment. And just so folks know, there's something called emergency spending, which happens in D.C. or coming out of the Congress along with the president. And so what will happen is there will be a request made for emergency spending for things like natural disasters. And if it is approved, then that money comes out of a, call it an imaginary place, because it's not tied to any budget. And so oftentimes when people go, where's the money going to come from for things like natural disasters that get approved by Congress or for acts of war, that just comes out of the, think of it as if you had a free credit card.
Ouch.
So we shall see what happens, but that is where the spending would come, is if Congress approves an emergency spending bill, and then the money will just poof appear. Although it does make me wonder, there's a couple of things I put on my list of, can we get some emergency spending for those things where it doesn't have to come out the budget? Reparations, or, you know, things like, there's got to be some other things where we could just poof, just have the money come, and doesn't even matter that there's no budget for it. But that's just reparations. We just, you know, thinking out loud. But we shall keep an eye on that.
But speaking of money, and speaking of supporting the people and raising funds for the people affected by Hurricane Harvey, shout out to Kevin Hart, who started a fund, and I think he's up to, I think he's up to like $10 million or something crazy like that. Also, J.J. Watts, who plays for the Houston Texans. I do know a little bit about football.
You didn't have to Google that?
No. Well, I did see that that was on the profile. But no, so shout out to J.J. Watts again, doing raising money for that. He's actually got a number of NFL teams that have each donated $1 million to help. So that's pretty awesome.
It is. I still won't be watching, but it is awesome.
His goal is $10 million as well. So hopefully he achieves that. And then also Beyonce and Solange, who, as many people know, are from Texas, from the Houston area. They've also pledged to raise funds. Solange is doing some benefit concerts, as well as Beyonce is working with local organizations on the ground to make sure the money is going to people that actually need it. There's also going to be telethons and things like that in order to raise money. So I think for everyone out there that has the capacity to help, please do.
Yes, shout out to the Beehive, to J.J. Watt, and to a fellow Philadelphian, Kevin Hart, and all the stars and people that have been donating and making a difference.
Making a difference.
Appreciate you all. All right. And that was the first unavoidable news story of the week. Just didn't feel right to not start off with acknowledging what's going on with Harvey. And then, unfortunately, some of the politics that are going on with it too. But I love that we ended on a good note of the good that people are doing to support each other. Next up, speaking of Texas, you know what Texas borders?
Mexico?
Yes, it does. And the hot topic of immigration is back in the news again.
Oh, in what way?
Donald Trump mentioned DACA this week.
DACA?
DACA. For those who may not know, DACA is an acronym for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Could have probably gave me 100 guesses. I wouldn't have guessed that.
And even knowing what it truly is, the program, I feel like they could have named it better.
Exactly.
But basically, it's a program for undocumented children who came here with their undocumented parents. And as a result, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Donald Trump being tough on crime. Actually, people don't really realize this, but it's been reported under Obama, there were more deportations under him than under George Bush. It's the previous president who was in office for 8 years. But with that said, DACA was a program that Obama put in place that says if you were brought to this country as a child, even if your parents came here undocumented, you get to stay. And so, as you can imagine, Mr. Build a Wall.
Yikes.
Mr. Don't let in the Mexicans who are rapists and drug dealers.
Yikes.
Mr. There's a judge who's from America, whose parents happen to be Mexican, can't be the judge in my case of the Trump University case because his parents are Mexican. That Trump,
yikes,
you'd imagine, would have a point of view on DACA.
Yeah.
Let's hear Donald Trump, back in February of this year, giving us a sneak peek to his thoughts on DACA.
We're going to show great heart. DACA is a very, very difficult subject for me, I will tell you. To me, it's one of the most difficult subjects I have because you have these incredible kids, in many cases, not in all cases. In some of the cases, they're having DACA and they're gang members and they're drug dealers too. But you have some absolutely incredible kids, I would say mostly. They were brought.
Yo, he can't talk about Mexican-Americans or folks from south of the border without mentioning gangs and rapists. Like, I'm going to play
That's
the rest
terrible.
Of the clip, but I had to pause it. This is him giving his thoughts on DACA, and somehow we're still talking about gang members.
Oh, God.
Not children.
Yeah. But yeah, these are under 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
Brought, and he's even off, just off message. All right, let me play the rest of this.
That is actually on message for him. It's on brand.
Hey, and that's why you are an award-winning advertising executive. That is very true. And for the 36% of people who actually approve of him, they probably love what he just said. But let me finish his thoughts in February on DACA when he's not talking about kids from Mexico being rapists and drug dealers and gang members.
It is a very, very, it's a very difficult thing for me because, you know, I love these kids. I love kids. I have kids and grandkids. And I find it very, very hard doing what the law says exactly to do. And, you know, the law is rough. I'm not talking about new laws. I'm talking the existing law is very rough. It's very, very rough. As far as the new order, is going to be very much tailored to the what I consider to be a very bad decision. But we can tailor the order to that decision and get just about everything, in some ways more. But we're tailoring it now to the decision. We have some of the best lawyers in the country working on it.
And that's Donald Trump talking about he's going to show some heart related to DACA and also reminding us that he loves the kids.
He has kids. He's got grandkids. He saw the movie Kids. He likes Bebe's kids. He got mad. Like, come on, man. Like, that sounds like the same. Like, I actually, those types of responses really, really irk me, like, to the bottom of my core. Like, that's the same thing of a non-person of color saying, I have black friends. I have friends, right. That's like the same as a non-person of color saying, I have black friends. Or it's the same thing as, you know, a non-ally saying, you know, I have a child that's gay. Or, like, you know, like, it's like, or, you know, I care about women's rights because I have a daughter. Like, you should be caring about people because you care about people. Like,
No, I totally agree. Just one quick pop culture side note. Is there a movie Kids?
Oh, yeah, it's like one of the most, like, it's like a cult classic movie.
I didn't know.
It's amazing. You should watch it. Everybody should watch
it.
No,
I was like, that's a good riff there. I'm like, did she just make up a
awesome
movie called
Kids? Rosario Dawson as a kid in that movie is fantastic.
Oh, cool. Did not know that. Yes, but I agree with you that his rhetoric is very hollow to me.
Yeah.
And so far, showing heart, I have not seen much of it while he has been president. Now, with that said, DACA is, for those who've been following along, it actually is unconstitutional. While Obama did do an executive order to allow folks to stay who were brought here undocumented, those who were kids, it's actually up to Congress to pass immigration laws, not the president. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens while Donald Trump is set to give actually his point of view on it on Tuesday, because I believe the DACA program actually ends this upcoming week. And so we'll see. There's talk that he will likely punt this to Congress and say, Congress, figure it out. Either pass a law that puts DACA in place or pass a law that says DACA is illegal, but do something.
A little scary, because it feels like, again, passing the buck and not wanting to take ownership of this, because he doesn't really care about the kids.
I would tend to agree with you. And unfortunately, relying on Congress to get stuff done doesn't sound like a good place to pick, good place to place our bets. Now, just one quick note as to why this DACA thing has become such an important issue is that there is a belief that by having a large number of undocumented workers who are especially in their youth or coming of age now, probably in their 20s and so forth, people feel like that depresses the job market. And they feel like it gives a larger supply of workers that potentially may be at the entry level or lower skills. And as a result, that increased supply of workers actually supposedly depresses wages and maybe makes it hard for Americans to get jobs, especially younger Americans.
I completely disagree.
I'm just saying that's what's been reported as to why this becomes a very political issue, depending on how people see economics and the role of immigration overall, regardless of whether it's legal or undocumented.
Okay.
So something to keep an eye out on. Just a couple things that give me some, at least, hopeful or wishful thinking on this. There was an NBC poll that came out that said 2/3 of Americans actually support DACA.
Mm-hmm.
So for Mr. Trump, who likes to be liked, and as we see, watches TV and watches the polls, hopefully he'll realize that Americans are like, dude, your wall, all that other stuff, maybe, but on this, let the kids live. And almost 50% of Americans say our job situation isn't made better or worse by undocumented workers, especially the ones in labor.
Yeah, especially, exactly, I completely agree. I mean, all you got to do is look at, you know, farming and like, you know, the way that like farmers actually have to throw out their crops because they can't find enough people to actually do the job. And they're giving you benefits and 401ks and all of these things to, you know, work on a farm, and nobody wants to do these jobs except for a large portion of them being undocumented immigrants.
Yeah. So, you know, underdogs, let us know. Are you in support of DACA, or are you like, nah, let it in? Let us know. I will say I am for DACA. I don't think kids should be punished, especially in this case, for something that their parents did. And in addition, I studied economics. I think a little bit of this is overblown rhetoric, because a lot of reason folks don't have jobs is, for one, there's millions of jobs that are actually currently open right now. And Americans oftentimes don't like to move around. And so oftentimes there's either a training or skills gap, or people don't want to leave where they live to go to
exactly.
where the job is.
Exactly.
And so I just think that those are things to keep in mind. With that, those are my thoughts on DACA. Let us know yours. I say keep it in place. With that, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, we will take your phone calls at area code 212-650-6903, 212-690-6903, and we will take your online comments at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith. More underdog stuff. Today's episode, back to work, back to school, back to life after this. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do here every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, talking politics, culture, and personal life and underdog stuff. And as always, joined in studio by Asha Davis.
Hi.
And Kirsten Magwood.
How you doing, guys?
And the entire Underdog crew listening or watching on Facebook Live. We appreciate you. And shout out to Daryl, who had a comment before the break talking about DACA. And he basically said he doesn't trust that Congress can get DACA done or anything done.
He also added to that thing. He said some of the businesses the most foreign workers are tech companies, or Facebook for their success. They average over 1 week the average salary. So how are American workers having fair wages?
Speak on it. Like I said, I think it's a bit of a divide and conquer strategy, pit Americans against both undocumented and, as we saw a few weeks ago, against documented workers, as Trump administration is looking to cut in half the amount of people we allow in this country legally.
Yeah.
Shout out to Daryl. Appreciate you. Definitely something we will keep an eye on. With that, let's jump into unjust or just right.
Unjust or just right. We're talking about getting back to work. You know what's the most important part about work, right?
What's the most important part? So I'm almost scared to...
Money, 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 money! Money! Money, 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 money! Hey,
some people, I got to have it.
Money!
All right.
What they do? What's going on in the world of money right now?
Yo, I think Simone Sanders, who was part of the Bernie Sanders campaign for president.
No relation.
No relation. She's a black woman.
Yeah.
I know you knew.
I know.
Both,
no, I know.
Folks might be like, "What? Why are they talking about Bernie's wife?" But no, Simone with a Y.
Listen, Simone's still a biblical name, but anyways, go ahead. Anyways, no relation. Simone Sanders, Simone with a Y, beautiful black woman. What's going on?
I think she summed it up best. I saw a tweet from her, and this will segue into the news story. And she said, the Trump administration is coming for Harriet Tubman, y'all.
Did you say y'all at the end of it? Or?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I'm quoting her.
So the Trump people are coming after Ms. Tubman?
They're coming after Ms. Tubman,
what y'all. That got to do with money?
Well, it has to do with Jack Lew, who folks may not remember, but he was the Secretary of the Treasury under President Obama. And last year he proposed putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill, replacing Andrew Jackson, the slave-owning 7th U.S. president.
So Jack Lew, who now, I think that's Steve Mnuchin's job now, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so the former Steve Mnuchin had put forward a proposal to replace Mr. Andrew Jackson.
Yes. Sorry, Ms. Jackson.
With
I am for real.
The amazing Miss Harriet Tubman on the American $20 bill.
Yes, he announced this in April of last year, and Jack Lew said Alexander Hamilton would stay on the $10 bill because there was a debate like where is she going to go, but he said, you know, folks were getting all excited about the Hamilton Broadway play, so public sentiment was like, you know, let Hamilton chill. And we'll put Harriet on the 20. And so it seemed like it was going to be all good.
Right. And I feel like we could have smelt this coming, though.
Did you just say smelt?
With a T at the end.
I ain't mad at you, yo.
That is also a word in the dictionary.
What's in it?
To smelt. It's form of like welding metal. Anyways.
Yeah, you're circumclosing.
So,
So you could see this coming. So Donald Trump, as you would imagine, during the campaign,
yeah,
it was people wanted to know, like, what are your thoughts on Harriet Tubman? And this is Donald Trump last year on the Today Show letting us know how he feels about Harriet.
All right.
I would love to leave Andrew Jackson and see if we can maybe come up with another denomination. Maybe we do the $2 bill or we do another bill. I don't like seeing it. Yes, I think it's pure political correctness. Been on the bill for many, many...
Are you surprised?
I am not surprised. I feel like this is that fragility that we're talking about here. And is it just me, or before the man says, let's make a $40 bill or a $60... Like, the man wants to say a $2 bill. Harriet Tubman got to get 10% of what Jackson got. I mean, that's just...
I didn't think about that.
That's right?
That's cold.
That's cold-blooded.
So let's fast forward to today. Steve Mnuchin, who's currently now the Secretary of the Treasury, was on CNBC, and they were like, yo, Steve, what's really good?
Like, is the ball rolling on that or what?
And you will see... Listen to what he says, but to me this is a perfect example of politicians don't answer questions.
Yeah, they circumlocute.
He is about to... So, remember, as you listen to this, we're talking about Harriet Tubman, and somehow we're going to start talking about counterfeit bills. Wait for it.
supported the idea of removing Andrew Jackson from the $20 bill and putting Harry Tubman on. Do you support that idea?
Well, let me just comment on, ultimately we will be looking at this issue. It's not something that I'm focused on at the moment. But the number one issue why we change the currency is to stop counterfeiting. So the issues of why we change it will be primarily related to what we need to do for security purposes. And I've received classified briefings on that, and that's what I'm focused on for the moment.
But certainly there are cultural aspects as to decisions we make as to who's on what bills, right?
Again, people have been on the bills for a long period of time. This is something we'll consider. Right now, we've got a lot more important issues to focus on.
Mr. Secretary, thank you for joining us.
So, you know, we talking about counterfeit dollars.
I mean, he said they got bigger fish to fry, right?
First of all, don't ever refer to Harry Tubman as an issue.
Ouch.
That just rubbed me the wrong way. There's not an issue. There's an opportunity to get her on one of the bills that either exist today or a new one, but she has never been and never will be an issue. Secondly, how do we get into counterfeit dollars over this?
I mean, that's what we talk about, angles, right? It's about the angle. So they, like, that is the definition of talking in circles. As we saw, that is circumlocution.
I didn't know how to say the word, but I knew it was going to matter for this.
That's what it is.
Right.
Yes, it is. But it's sort of like, I feel like it's almost a way of protecting things, because it's like, if in this universe, this version of the universe that the Harry Tubman build does go through, then the people in power that are opposed to this, or the people in power that are calling it an issue because they have constituents that are of that ilk, that they do not want to see a black woman on the money, then they can position it as, you know, a anti-counterfeiting measure versus a we care about having these types of people on our money.
Underdogs. Is this unjust or just right that it looks like there's going to be a reneging of Harry Tubman?
I don't like that choice of words.
It's a spade.
Reneging?
I don't
like
you
that word.
Spade?
I think you got to pick a different word when we're talking about black people on money. You can't use that word.
Well, that they will go back on their word.
Yes.
With that, I do have some closing thoughts, but I want to play something I found on the internet. And sometimes we compare Trump to being a kid, and then I've heard people say that actually kids are actually more mature at times than Donald Trump is. There's a clip of kids talking about Harriet Tubman and Donald Trump. I want to play the clip, and then it'll feed into my closing thoughts on whether I think this is unjust or just right.
She went back from south and north 19 times, saving millions of people.
Maybe we do the $2 bill, or we do another bill.
Women have always been the underdog in life. Everyone takes women as just home moms. They take care of your children, and that's all they do. And I think women are worth a lot more than that.
Welcome back. That was kids and Trump talking about Harry Tubman. And I love the point that the young lady made near the end, and when I say young lady, she's literally a little girl, but she talked about how women have been underdogs.
Yeah.
And that it would be a big deal to see Harriet Tubman, who is a well-known abolitionist and humanitarian, be on one of our currencies. Now, with that, where are the women's groups on this?
That's a really good question.
You know, because we talk about intersectionality sometimes, where things aren't just about black or white or about male or female. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes things intersect. And this is a case where there's an opportunity for women's groups,
mm-hmm.
along with folks who want to see things done to honor the contributions of black Americans. And, you know, to me, it's been very weird and underwhelming that I haven't heard any women's group go, why are y'all playing with Harry Tubman? Because
that is a really
last
good
time
point.
I checked, if you look at all the currency, and when I say all, I'm talking about dollar bills, from the $1 bill, let's go all the way up to the $100 bill, which I believe Benjamin Franklin's on. There's not a single woman on any of the American dollar bills. If you're not going to fight for Harriet, at least fight for Ida B. Wells, who help get folks, I believe, the right to, you know, there's folks out there, there's no women groups who want to fight to get a woman on one of these currencies?
I mean, but let's call spade a spade. Women's groups that are not solely focused on women of color still think that women got the vote in the 1920s.
No, and women
so
didn't
that's
get the
not
vote. Yes.
Fair. You know?
Women did not. Hey, just one underdog.
So
one,
I think
one,
that's
one quick understanding moment here. Women in federal elections, especially this came up while Hillary was running, because people were like, oh, we're going to have the first woman president. We did have the first woman nominee of a major party. And people were like, yeah, women got the vote in the 1920s. And almost 100 years later, we're going to have a potentially a woman president. Just pro tip here. Women didn't get the right to vote in federal presidential elections until the 1960s. That's when all American women had the ability to vote. That's the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act was passed. Just want to put that out. We'll make sure folks know that. With that, I wish there would be no more executive orders. Because I'm tired of initiatives like DACA or even things like Harriet Tubman being on dollar bill, they just come and go at the whim of one person sitting in the White House. I want someone to pass this rule or law and make it happen. So I do have a couple solutions. I would say put it on the 20. But if not, maybe create a new dollar bill, like a $15 bill or something like that. Or do what we do with stamps. Rotate folks. Like, why should the same people just stay on them? There's a lot of people. There's other presidents who aren't on any dollar bills. There's folks like Harriet Tubman. There should be some type of rotation, but we should get to acknowledge some of the great Americans that weren't just the six dudes that are on the major dollar bill currencies in the United States.
There are presidents that are still
in the United States. I do, but I'm trying to get the dollar bill, y'all.
100% team here in some of the money. I don't think
it's administration that's going down. I don't think it's administration that's going down.
Yeah, we got a Facebook comment.
I thought it already happened. Meaning, I thought when Obama put it
in, no, it's
happened.
Like DACA. He said something, and then because it's not a law, it can be reversed.
Obama should have got those printed before he left. What? I'm side-eyeing Obama on this. Sir, you should have left with the paper here, like, in frame, because otherwise you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got a Facebook comment where they said, you know, the Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill getting undone is not shocking.
Very good use of the N-word. We will keep our eye on this. In terms of whether this is unjust or just right, this one is easily unjust. Let's find a way to make it happen to get Harriet and other awesome Americans who contributed to this country in some type of rotation or on some of these dollar bills. Because symbols matter and acknowledgement matters.
And representation matters.
It sure does. With that, we're going to take a quick break. And then after that, the un of the week.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I'll give you a hint.
What?
His name rhymes with homie. More underdog stuff. Back to work, back to school, back to life episode after this. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff. Today's episode, back to work.
Back to work. Man, those beats make me want to freestyle.
I, you know, just let me know during whenever one of those breaks. I can just turn your mic on.
Uh-oh.
And then you can do what you do.
We talking about the homie, ain't the crony, and you know that we gonna show him. Uh-oh. Stop it. Stop
you.
It.
You and Kellyanne Conway rhyming.
Mr. Comey, yes. Ain't the homie.
Yo, we about to talk about your man's in them.
He's, if you don't stop.
If I don't stop what?
Saying these people are my mans in them, because my real mans in them is going to get jealous and stuff.
Okay.
No, I don't have friends.
Hey, whoever her mans in them, when I say her mans in them, I'm just playing. It's entertainment. It's politics, culture, and personal life. Not personal life. That comment was just politics.
I'm joking. I don't have any friends.
Okay. So for now, let's talk about your imaginary man's in them.
Yeah.
The homie, Comey is the un of the week.
Dun, dun, dun. What do you do this time now?
So there were newly disclosed evidence that the FBI director, or former FBI director, James Comey, began working on a statement to reject criminal charges against the former Democratic presidential nominee candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton. Rodham Clinton, months before she and other key witnesses were interviewed by the FBI. That was Comey. So Comey was literally drafting a letter about how he was going to clear Hillary Clinton in April. But he didn't actually make the final announcement until later, and actually didn't even interview her yet, but he was already drafting that it was going to be all good. The same person who... This is Comey in July talking about Hillary.
Okay.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified
information. So that was Comey in July.
2016.
Right. Talking about Hillary was extremely careless. But in August of 2016, he was already drafting his letter for how he was going to clear her of all charges.
Right. And what happened between August and November?
He would then eventually interview her and other key witnesses and then come out and say it's all good, even though it sounds like he already knew it was all good before he knew it was all good.
But the damage had already been done by that point.
To be honest, I can't keep up. I don't know if Comey is the mole, if he's on her side, not on her side, but the homie Comey is... He's losing some credibility with me.
I mean, yeah. He's... Yeah.
There was a government person who said, this is how it unfolded. Conclusion first, fact gathering second. That's how Comey did the investigation.
Guilty until proven innocent. I mean, that's the American way.
Well, she was innocent before he even tried to prove innocent.
Right. But he said something that would lead people to think she's guilty prior to anything else. That's how the court system here works.
Fair enough. It is the honor of the week because it's unbelievable, but I'm not surprised.
Right.
This is the same investigation that had Loretta Lynch on a tarmac chilling with Bill Clinton during the investigation, talking behind closed airplane doors for like 40 minutes. This is the same administration under Obama that he announced that he was going to be at a rally to endorse her. And he announced that before the actual announcement of whether she would be found not guilty came out. So clearly there's coordination, stuff's all rigged. They were never going to have anything bad happen to her, even though she was said to be extremely careless.
I mean, I love Hillary. I'm a fan of Hillary, so I don't know. I'm looking at your facial expressions trying to like read them, and I actually can't right now because I don't actually know if you're upset that she's not being charged or if you're upset that they came out and said something about her that potentially could have caused her to lose the election and put us in a situation with, you know, Orange, 67 Orange over here, which is the name of a popular club in Harlem. Shout out. And our current president.
You got these pops? Who are they? Orange 67?
67 Orange.
Shout out?
Shout out, because that's the name of our president, too. You know?
Okay, they're going to be the new sponsor?
Stop it.
Okay, I'm just asking. All right, so my facial expression, it is unacceptable to start drafting a not guilty or she's going to be, you know, absolved of all charges before you've actually interviewed her and other witnesses. So that is like, that's just unacceptable.
But it's also unacceptable to come out and publicly state things that you don't actually know as matter of fact that you know could negatively affect somebody's chances to win an election that they're currently running in.
I know, but I'm...
That's also... I just want to frame both of those things.
I'm
like,
starting upstream.
The first one is actually exponentially worse than the second one. I just want you to realize that.
I'm just mad that she wasn't a better candidate and that...
Right, but I'm also... Okay, but just...
Can I be mad?
For the level setting for our listeners here.
Also, like, we forgot that we were mad at Kobe from his before he felt we thought we were kind of on our side with Trump, but I just think that she would do that.
I know, but I'll go even further back. I'm upset that she put the server in her place, which kicked all of this off, which had nothing to do with Trump or
something. I'm going to change the subject right now because you sound like Donald Trump talking about crowd size right now. You're bringing up things that are really not that serious compared to the person who's the president of America.
Do you know what we're going to do?
We're going to go to break.
We're going to keep it locked.
Yeah.
Mic check. Locked on WHCR, 90.3 FM, New York.
All right, and that was the Un of the Week. And speaking of the homie Comey and today's episode, Back to Work, which is also the time of year where folks go back to school, the homie Comey is going back to school.
Oh, he got a new job?
Yes.
Where?
At The Real HU.
What's that? I know. I just want people to know.
I didn't know whether that was a Canadian remark. Okay, so we're talking about Hampton.
Hampton University?
I did that for all the folks. I know what I'm doing here. That gets a riled up. I'm like, oh, we're talking about Harvard.
Oh, no. They're like, what?
We are talking about the Howard University. Shout out to a lot of the Bisons who are friends of the show. We appreciate you. I was just playing. I know who the real HU is. And the homie Comey will be there doing the whole teaching thing.
James Comey will be a teacher at Howard University this year?
He's going to add professor to his resume. So he is appointed as the public policy or chair in public policy for the 2017 and 2018 academic year. And he will host 5 lectures and the dates and topics yet to be announced, but he's going to be on campus doing his thing.
That's awesome.
And to not miss a publicity opportunity, it also happens to be around the time where he will be launching his book.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So doing a little professor stuff and also, his book. And he's been known to leak stuff to folks. He leaks memos. And now he'll have a book to tell all about his life as the FBI director. I'm sure he's going to be leaking some of that. Hopefully he has some good audio like Hillary had last week with her book of what happened.
Wait, are there books coming out at the same time?
Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, well, hold on. I think you're right because he's going to do the opening convocation as the keynote speaker to welcome the incoming Howard University freshman class on September 22nd. Hillary's book, I remember this because her book comes out on my mom's birthday, September 12th. So they both were launching their books in September. So wow. We can relive the past of the 2016 election again in September. So in a couple of days.
Well, just for that point, because we were talking about our friends, some of the poor decisions that our friend Hillary made during the election. It seems that her book launch date has now become an unfortunate date because September 12th is also the day that the new iPhone is launching. So she might just get buried in the news that day too. Poor planning.
Hillary losing out.
She just can't win, man.
Literally.
Oh, that was cold-hearted.
No,
cold-hearted.
You set me up for that. I mean, that was a good one. That was a very good one. So, enough of the homie Comey in the news. He is both the Un of the Week and also a professor.
Yeah, I think again, Daryl made a great comment on Facebook Live that I want to share. He says, the fact that people can't see through Comey or the orange guy is shameful. There's a difference between an imperfect friend, who is the notorious HRC, Hillary, as we like to call her affectionately, versus an enemy of the state. And he classifies that as Trump or the orange guy with a dead rat on his head. And I tend to agree. We cannot equate the things that the two of them do on any sort of equal scale.
That is good.
Thank you.
Shout out to Asha and Dara, tag teaming on me when it comes to the notorious HRC. Yes, it is. All right. On to a grab bag of some of the underreported stories of the week.
Are we grabbing bags now? Okay, let's grab the bag.
Figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
Figuratively. Although.
Keep it Sunday, right, Ash?
Yes. Although, this is a bit of a bag grab in our first story. So, we've been talking about back to school, or back to work. This is literally a back to school story. And
I'm sorry, I'm crying at the segue there. That was really funny. Speaking of grabbing bags, let's talk about...
Yeah, we do this for a living. All right. A back to school story. So guess what? There was a student in, I believe it was South Africa, that accidentally had $1 million show up in their bank account.
Oh, nice.
Because they get a stipend for school, going back to college. And it was supposed to be a stipend for $100. But clearly, they got a couple zeros off. And so the young lady, student, had $1 million put into her account. And she spent $60,000 of it, by the way.
Lady after my own heart. Grab those bags, boo. Grab those bags.
The views expressed by Asha Davis. It's Sunday.
Grab the... $1 million shows up in your bank account.
For real. If $1 million shows up in your bank account tomorrow, what are you going to do, Gregory?
They're going to come get me. I'm not playing.
It's not your fault. You're not spending any of the money.
When you go to the store and they improperly put the wrong price on a product. They got to give it to you for that price.
We're not Wells Fargo over here creating accounts and doing it. If $1 million, I know they're going to come. Or
it's
at least,
their mistake.
Or at least I'm not going to spend $60,000 right away.
She probably bought two Birkins.
Come on, that's nothing.
That's not even 10%. That's 5%.
She was good. That was restrained. $1 million and all she spent was 60K.
Exactly. She could have bought a house.
She could buy real estate. That's right. She could have bought a country for that price.
Come on. She probably bought two Birkin bags and a pair of shoes. Like, give me a break.
I think she showed a lot of restraint.
Go ahead, my girl. Grab that bag. You know, as Cardi B say, she got a new bag and fixed her teeth.
Hashtag Bodak Yellow. I hope 60K would be something they can't repossess, like some good dental work. You know what I'm saying? Some life insurance or something. I hope she bought something real good with 60K.
Underdog. Come get Asha and Kirsten. What would you do if $1 million... accidentally showed up in your account? What are you going to do? Clearly, this woman...
Child. She was a student. She was a child. Let's call her a child.
This young adult.
Young.
Spent 60 of it. Asha seems to think that she would have spent some of it. I don't know if 60 would have been your account.
I would have spent 10%. If they had put that in a grown woman's bank account, there would have been a lot more than $60,000.
I would have spent 10%. I'd have been like, I'm going to give you 90% back, but right. I'm going to keep 10 for my troubles.
Right, you have bothered me with the aspiration of $1 million to make. I've now been bothered with this thought, and now I've got to, you know.
The stress you've put on my life. I've got news cameras interviewing me now. Like, what are you not going to do is keep 10%.
I'm glad I saved the story for the second half.
Even Jesus wants 10%.
What if I get you, if I tithe, look, that's how you do it. I'm going to go ahead and tithe on that $1 million first, and then I'm going to let God work out what God wants me to do with the rest. If I give 10% to God first, that's 100K off the top.
Jesus know your heart.
Jesus saw my heart. Look, Jesus put $100,000 in my bank account. He got 10% immediately. And now I'm in counsel with him about what should happen next. We're in conversation.
I wasn't prepared for this part. Underdog, what would you do if you got $1 million instead of 100 showed up in your
right?
Account? So
that's called the work of the Lord. Amen.
What is going to happen to this young lady is that they are going to attempt to get the money back.
From who?
From her.
Well, see, they will have to get it from my church first. Y'all go ahead and get you go ahead and see if you can get that 10%
don't,
back.
Okay, but
I'm
going
to donate that to the hurricane. I'm going to donate it to Hurricane Harvey. You go ahead and get it back from the folks in Houston if you want.
You
going
to use that money like Joel Osteen was using his church to help people?
I would.
We won't even get in the
That's why you got to give the money away fast. Give it to people in Houston. That money's spent. That money's up in water.
We should move to the next. I don't even know what to say. Actually, right. We're going to take a quick break. Underdog, if you have a comment about what would you do with $1 million if it showed up in your bank account accidentally, let us know. Because Kirsten and Asha definitely have a point of view. And I'm still trying to figure out mine. But would you spend
You should figure out what you're going to buy. That's what you should figure out.
More Underdog stuff. And back to work, back to life. And in this case, back to school with a lot of money after this. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, live radio show and podcast. Today's show, back to work, back to school, back to life, and back to what we were talking about.
Money, 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 money.
Some people.
Money. Well, Daryl says that he would go take the money to the Bank of Antigua, where they have 10% interest on savings accounts, and he would do one more year of work because he's responsible like that, and then he would just live off his $100,000.
But Daryl, I heard about in Antigua 1 acre for $100K, so you could take $100K off the back and buy some property and then put it in the bank. I mean, I guess it wouldn't take that long for that money to disappear.
They gonna come get y'all.
Spoken like a true scaredy cat.
They gonna come get y'all.
Nah, I'm gonna give them 90% back.
Right, hey,
like they can take these. I'm giving 10% to Jesus, and I
gave 10% to Harvey. You should go see them folks down in Houston if you want your money back. Like, what kind of person does that?
Fair enough.
Little Robin Hood. If you get that kind of thing, you at least owe it to the world to do a little Robin Hood exchange. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Underdogs, let us know. Area code 212-650-6903 or comment on Facebook Live, facebook.com/ReggieAndEastMed. Other underreported stories. Speaking of money. And earlier we talked about executive orders. Donald Trump is at it again. This time trying to get back into people's paychecks.
Oh, man.
Yes. This week, Donald Trump signaled, and I believe it may have actually gone through, that he's going to reverse an executive order by the Obama administration that required businesses that had over 100 employees to submit data to the government about their pay practices, their compensation, based on different demographics, so that there would start to be some type of place to track whether or not there is pay inequality amongst people who work here in America, trying to close the pay gap.
Interesting.
So no more. It's a wrap. So for the pay gap, which is, I think, women, 80 cents on the dollar to white men, and it's lower based on race and other factors, that's going to likely keep going. This is going to be one way to make it better, but no more executive order. Companies do not have to report their compensation to the government.
That's what happens when you have a corporate guy in charge of a country, because obviously that would affect a corporation's bottom line if they all of a sudden had to start paying people equally, right?
It would. It would be the right thing to do, but once again, not knowing, lack of information makes it easier for companies to do what they do.
Yeah, because basically, I mean, especially in the world of technology, even marketing to a degree, where you're working in competitive fields where talent, there's a competition for companies to get the best talent, you know, that's where you see a lot of these pay inequalities, because a new person can come in and because they're new, they can negotiate, you know, a higher wage, and the people that already work there, that already do that job, it's not like they know what that person's making. And so they're probably making, you know, 20 grand less.
Yeah. Now, I will say, and all of us are in business in some way, I do get how it can be a bit onerous to have to compile this data, submit it to the government. It is probably an example of regulations that can bog you down from doing your work. But I would like to see some type of law passed where employers are required to share the data with their employees. Because if I know what other people are making, then I can negotiate better.
Right,
exactly. And that would be helpful. Forget about giving it to the government. Just let me know where I work that they get to disclose compensation, and then I'll handle it from there.
Right. As a worker, that sounds like something you would want. As a corporate boss, that's not something you would want, because it would cost your organization more money to pay people equally, which is why it's not surprising that this has been shut down.
Donald Trump at it again. One other underreported story.
Sure.
And this one, to me, is especially meaningful as we kind of integrate or wrap around the fact that while we were sleeping last night, there was a military action or related military action in North Korea, mm-hmm. where one of their bombs went off and created some big magnitude of earthquake or disturbance to the earth, where folks are like, oh my goodness, that's probably because one of their nuclear or big bombs is getting stronger, their capability. And, you know, during times like this, we may end up being at war. And to me, every soldier, everybody who wants to be involved and willing and able to serve, I'm like, hey, I appreciate you. But unfortunately, this week, talking about back to work, Donald Trump put out his details around transgender serving in the military, and he made it final, at least declaring that transgender soldiers can no longer serve in the military, can't start to serve.
So the people that are there can continue.
Yeah, so that's what, so speaking of that, so he gave Mattis, who is his defense secretary, he gave him the directive that by February of 2018, that he should issue some type of recommendation on what to do going forward with those transgender soldiers that are currently still serving. And so we will see what happens. But as of right now, no one new who's transgender can start. And then we'll find out in about 6 months or a little less than 6 months what will happen with those who are currently serving. And supposedly somewhere between 2,000 to 10,000 of our soldiers, who it looks like we may need them more and more coming these days, are transgender and serving as capable and approved soldiers.
Yep. So, can I say something slightly unpolitically correct? I feel like if you really don't like transgender people, why wouldn't you want them to serve in the military? That's like putting them on the front line of, like, death. So I don't understand why people even have a problem with it. Like, it seems so ridiculous. It seems like everyone wants to hate everything. It's like, these people can't put themselves on the line of fire for you. They can't exist in the country. They can't, I mean.
To me, this is an example of hustling backwards. We have a voluntary military. And there's folks who not only volunteer to fight, but they went through all that it takes to get approved to be soldiers. It's not like someone was like, hey, we're going to hook you up and you can be in just because you're transgender. They're approved soldiers.
That's right.
And like, we hustling backwards, like, no, I don't want you to protect me.
Well, that's the part I don't understand. Just, like,
that's
I mean,
you hustling backwards.
Like, if you're really an OG hater, then go ahead and put the people you hate on the front line of fire.
That's too much hate.
I would like to send all the neo-Nazis to the front line and let them get blasted first. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't care. If the neo-Nazis wanted to come work in, like, yeah, please put them on the front line of fire. Send them to combat the nuclear arms race. Like, I mean,
what to me is scary is that it feels like a political move. It feels like an opportunity for Trump to speak to his crowd of people that are not very inclusive. To basically demonstrate that he got something done and something done that is important to those types of people. And that's what's extremely scary to me, is because you are using real people's lives as political pawns and opportunities.
Yeah. Well, we will, as always, especially because we're looking out for all the underdogs out there, we will keep an eye on this. One bit of news in terms of the fight to repeal this or stand up against it, the ACLU has filed a lawsuit in Maryland this week on behalf of 6 transgender service members, and so we will continue to keep an eye on how this unfolds. Mm-hmm. And lastly, one other underreported story to keep an eye on, and speaking of back to work, Congress will be back in session this week, and this entire month will, you know, unavoidable news stories will include things like what's going to happen with the debt limit, what's going to happen with border wall funding, what's going to happen with the emergency funding for Harvey, the push for tax reform. Are they going to repeal and replace Obamacare, make one more last attempt at it before the fiscal government year ends at the end of this month? We will be keeping an eye on all of that as Congress gets back to work this week. And some would argue that they haven't even been working, so maybe they're starting to work this week.
Yikes.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with the big finish to today's show. Back to work.
Back to work. Back to reality.
Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, live radio show and podcast that we do here every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Today's episode, Back to Work.
back to work.
Back to reality.
Back to reality.
And with that, we were just talking about one of the underreported stories of the week being that the evolution of the ban potentially on transgender servers, folks, is back in the news. And also, we got stuff going on with North Korea. And we have a call on the line. Name and where you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? This is 80 Foot Jesus. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you? What's your comment?
Anyway, look here, man. This stuff with Kim Jong-il, man, this is gay, man. He's the newest boogeyman. If this guy's doing public tests, he's had this stuff for a long time. He probably got it from China or us or Russia. They're trying to scare the American public so that we could take and let them put our tax dollars into weapons manufacturing, of which they are invested, if not owned. It's the same game that's been going on since Hitler, when Stalin, Roosevelt, and Churchill realized that with a boogeyman, you know, with Hitler, a boogeyman, they can pump up the tax dollars and, you know, steer it into their pockets, man. So they want to scare everybody. And the more that y'all play, you know, play into it, they're going to push it up one more notch, man. They probably even try to put in the draft, man, to get a conventional thing going, to get those other little companies involved that make the boots and the uniforms and all that stuff, man. This is all about money. This guy, where's he going? He's an outcast. He wants to get in. He's hanging out with Dennis Rodman. He want to go to Hollywood and hang out with the Kardashians. He don't want to be like the bad guy. I'm saying, but they made a deal to bring him in slowly and whatnot. They can't not bring him in. If he got nuclear bombs, you know what I'm saying? They got to talk to him.
Oh, hey, I hear you.
Hey, this is a game, man. And Trump is a diversion. While they got him over here making noise, they moving their left hand and doing this.
No, hey,
why wasn't he beefing when we were like when George Bush was fighting us? Why wasn't this guy beefing?
Yes. And hey, I appreciate you calling in with your comment. I'll react to what you just said, but I think you made some very good points, and we appreciate you. And call in again next week.
All right, wake up, y'all.
All right, now, take care. So, a couple things. You mentioned China.
First, yeah.
And China is definitely a player in all this with North Korea. You know, there's an old saying about follow the money. And we talked about this earlier in the show. What are some of the areas where we can spend money where it doesn't matter if it's tied to the budget? It's called emergency spending for things like natural disasters or things like war. So, you know, it is fair to speculate that there will be people who benefit by us going to war, and there's money that gets, you know, put into the economy, into definitely special parts of the economy. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear your points. I appreciate our caller calling in as well. I just want to say for our listeners and for people listening into the podcast, one thing that we do want to be mindful and respectful of is the words that are used to describe certain things. So, you know, none of us on this show condone using the word gay to describe something in a negative fashion.
Yes. No, not at all. That is never acceptable.
No.
At all. So there may be some games being played, but we definitely do not condone that at all. At all. Cool. So with that, we are coming to the big finish of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it is time for your favorite part of the show, which is Uninhibited.
Uninhibited.
Yes.
The part of the show where
what Uninhibited is about.
Uninhibited is my favorite part of the show, and this is a part of the show where I get to ask Gregory a question that he does not know before the show, and he has to answer in the most open and uninhibited way possible. In previous shows, you know, we've talked about his personal life and the types of ladies that he likes, and today might be a little bit different. Yep.
Yes. Oh, actually, that was the caller. And so his thing was, if he was misheard, he said game.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So he had some very...
Thank you for correcting that, sir. I really appreciate it.
He had some remarks he wanted to make, which I think were fair about follow the money. Let's realize that players like China are involved in all this.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is fair that oftentimes people create foils or bad guys to then make certain things happen. And so he was saying, watch out for the game. that's being played right now related to North Korea and the war. And so we appreciate his comments. And he said nothing related to game. It's all about the game, and we're going to follow the money and follow the game that's been playing here.
Speaking of games,
yeah,
we ain't playing them.
No.
When it comes to Uninhibited.
Yes.
And so today's question, we've been talking about, you know, getting back to work and making that money. And today I'd like to take our question in a different direction a little bit, you
okay.
know? As I was sort of saying a little bit earlier, we've been talking, a lot of the Uninhibited questions have been really personal to your personal life. And I'd like to ask you a bit of a business question this time.
Okay.
Speaking of getting back to work.
Cool. I'm not just a businessman.
I'm a businessman. I'd like you to talk openly about, you know, some of the feelings that you've had when you may have dreaded going into work, when you may not have wanted to go back. It's always, you know, for us regular people, you know, going back to work after a long weekend is never easy. But I know for you, you know, you were in a position where you wanted to leave your job for a while. And I would love for you to just open up and talk about those feelings of going to work when you didn't want to be there and how you sort of got through the day to day.
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. There were times where I literally was sick physically, couldn't sleep at night, couldn't find the energy to get out of bed because I had mentally and emotionally started to check out from work. Mm-hmm. I was probably a few months away from actually saying it out loud and resigning, but I had already started to, you know how they say the mind and body are in perfect sync?
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunately true. So I was in perfect sync. My mind and body were like, yo, you are checked out.
Yeah.
And my work performance started to suffer. My interactions with my direct reports started to suffer. And to your point, that's not a good place to be.
No.
And so how did I get myself to keep going in a manner that was better than being someone who was showing up late, who was not getting enough sleep, who was potentially being under-delivering to my team, was a couple things. One, my dad used to always say, until you leave, your goal should be the CEO. His point was, if you haven't left there, then you need to act like you're still there. So part of it was just like, I need to just be a professional. They're still paying me every day. I'm still part of this company, this team. I get to like do my job. Also, I think there's times where it's helpful when we don't just think about ourselves. I may be leaving, but the person who's reporting to me ain't leaving.
Yeah.
The person reporting to me is trying to get a job done. They have a performance appraisal each year. The cross-functional team that leans on me for support, they're trying to put food on their table, do their jobs well, meet their goals.
Yeah.
So even if I couldn't get out of bed each morning for myself, remember that it's bigger than me.
Okay.
And there's people who I actually care for and like as people who I happen to work with that I get to do a better job during that time when I was ready to check out. If not for me, at least for the people I work with and actually care about. Like, they're good people. And then lastly, there's a reality of, well, clearly, I'm not set up to leave yet or I would have left. So there were still some financial obligations I had, some money that I need to save or move around. So part of it was like, well, you gotta get up, go to work, and act like you still have a reason to go there, which is to work my plan. So I was going to work from then on out for myself to get what I needed to get out of it, as opposed to feeling like I was some type of victim that still had to go to work even though I wanted to leave. So those are some of the things that helped me keep going, which was, for one, I hadn't left yet, so I need to be a professional and protect my brand, right? I don't want my brand to be remembered as the dude who came in late and didn't do his work. Then also be the person who looked out for the team that supported me. I get to support them. Even if I didn't feel like it, I do it for them. And then lastly, look at what are the like substantive reasons why I'm still going to work. And there were some financial obligations, some other things that I needed to and wanted to accomplish. And so that was motivation to get out and get to work and change that. Oh my God, I don't want to do it. And that was how I survived those last few months of being in a place where I was ready to check out, but clearly I wasn't going yet. So I got to make the best of it.
So basically protect your brand, look out for the team, and stack your bread. are the primary thoughts to keep into your head as to why you need to fight through the darkness and go to work every day with a smile on your face, even if you don't want to be there.
Yes, and I love the way you phrase it, protect your brand. The world's a small place.
Yeah.
Especially in a lot of the industries that everyone works in. You want people to remember your brand as being one that is dependable, that makes stuff happen, that gets the job done. Because that person or people you work with, they might be some other place someday, and you guys might end up connecting, and them remembering you as being someone who didn't make it happen or remembering someone who finished strong could be the difference between an opportunity in the future or not getting one.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. Protect your brand.
Yep.
Yeah. And so those are my thoughts. Protect your brand.
Protect your brand. Play for the team and stack your bread.
Yeah. Very cool. And that gets us to the end of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today's show, back to work, back to life, back to school.
Back to reality.
Yeah. So I just want to leave you with my closing thought, which is my unword for today's show, which is uncover.
Uncover.
Yes. And I say that because a lot of folks are going back to work next week or getting back into their groove. And I think it's always a good time as we go into the fall season to really uncover what is it that you really, really want to do. Because if you're feeling like I was, related to your uninhibited question, this is the time of year to start to get very introspective about what do you want and start to figure out a plan to go really pursue the career interest that you have if you're not good. And I'll leave you with one of my favorite quotes I remember from Eddie Murphy, who was so profound. He was on Arsenio Hall show back in the day. And Arsenio asked him, how do you know you want to be a comedian? And Eddie said, I always knew. He's like, and I think we all know, he says, but I just think we let life tell us different.
Mm.
So take those words from Eddie. You actually already know what you want to do. Go make it happen and get back to the real work that you want to do.
Blow those leaves away and uncover your dream.
Yes, indeed. And in the meantime, protect your brand before you leave wherever you at.
Mm.
With that, I want to thank all the callers.
Thank you to our callers, especially thank you to our last caller for clarifying his comment. Really appreciate it.
Yes, we appreciate you and also James who called in earlier. Please call in again. Also, shout out to all the folks who were following along on Facebook Live.
Yes.
And all the comments. Definitely appreciate that. And shout out to the Underdog Stuff team, Kirsten Magwood and Asha Davis in the building.
Holla.
And if you missed any of today's show, the podcast will be available ASAP, like tomorrow.
And also, special shout out to the host, Gregory Neesmith, GregoryNeesmith on Facebook.
Yes, you're getting there. You're getting close.
Lots of money.
Shout out to everyone who makes the podcast, one of the top 100 podcasts on Podomatic and Society and Culture. And with that, up next, after this break, the new after show.
After the party is the after party.
And so I will get personal about politics and culture. But with that, I'll leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. More Underdog Stuff in the after show coming up after this break.
Can
Thank you for listening to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast. The live show is every Sunday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can watch it live on Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith or listen live on WHER 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem radio station. And new podcast episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Lively Play, and Podomatic. Underdogs, keep going. And remember, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody.